Well, it's great to hear all the chitter chatter taking place. Chitter chatter, where did that come from? That's my grandma's term, chitter chatter. It's great to see you coming back to church. We're so grateful to have you here. You know, this has been a very enjoyable weekend. Yesterday, we had our Impact Conference. Once a year, we take a weekend, and we call it Impact Weekend. And we just have a time of thinking through how we can make an impact for Jesus in our own communities, in our households, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our region, nation, around the world. This year, our theme has been love is an action word. Again, we want to take love just from an idea or from a biblical truth perspective or from an attitude and really give it some feet and hands. You know, our church has really taken seriously God's call for us to make an impact on our world. And we are in the beginning stages, in the first year of a campaign here called the All In Campaign. And the All In Vision Campaign is a way, a way for our church as a group, collectively as a church family, to accomplish three projects. We're asking God and believing that God wants us to accomplish three things in the next 3 years. And we're in year one of those 3 years in this all-in campaign. And the phrase all-in comes from the story in the Bible of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And he took the five loaves and two fishes. And you can see in the design there, there's five loaves and two fishes. God can take a little bit and make it very, very impactful. And so we've been asking God and believing that God has led us to do three projects. Project number one is sending a family from our church onto the mission field as vocational missionaries. We believe that God wants Jesus to be known not just in the foothills but around the world. And God has raised up the Mallory family who were in our church, have been raised up, we're training, we're partnering with Encompass, and now they are being sent to Osaka, Japan to be a missionary. So we can say that they are fully funded. God has provided all of their needs. They're receiving their last couple months of training, and they're going to be deployed this fall, perhaps as early as November. And so we can thank the Lord that one project out of the three looks like it's being done. Praise the Lord for that. The second project that we believe God is leading us to do is to make him more known in our region. And the way that we want to do that in this three-year window is by helping to plant a new church in Forest Hill. God has been showing us that there are thousands of people, not like just like in Auburn, but also in Forest Hill, that need to know about Jesus. And so we want to plant a satellite church up there in the Forest Hill area. And we believe that's going to happen in 2022. God is starting to put all the pieces together. And it looks like, at least our guess, our first estimate, is that Easter of next year, we're going to be launching a new church, a sister church of ours in Forest Hill. And so you can be praying about that. And you can be involved in that. There's some people that live in Forest Hill that are super excited about this. There's a need in that community for more groups to be talking and sharing Jesus up there. So that's project number two that's underway. The third project is God gave us, or God provided for us, the 6 acres that are right next to our property, and we want to build a park so we can have our community come to the park and recreate, and we can build bridges into their lives of friendship through a common experience of coming together at a park, and that relationship, that friendship can be an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with them. And so we really believe that God has opened the door for us to get this acreage. We got it 10 years ago, and God provided, or almost 15 years ago, God provided it for us. And so we're in the beginning stages of getting the permits and getting all the studies done. In this three-year window, what we're asking God to do is to provide us the time and the manpower and the experience, I mean the talent experience and the resources just to get us through the permit process. And then in the next three-year window, we're going to build Grace Park, Lord willing. And in the next three-year window, we're going to send another missionary onto the field, and we're going to plant another church probably down in the Lincoln-Rockland area because housing is exploding down there and people are moving there that need to know about Jesus. So God is providing all these things for us. But these three projects are projects that we're doing together. Making an impact is through our collective work. That's very true. And God is showing us how to do that. But making an impact is also very personal, isn't it? That I want to make an impact for Jesus. And we really believe that God has put neighbors in your neighborhood. God has put friends at school. God has allowed you to be on that team or to work in that company so that he can surround you with people that he is drawing to himself, and he wants to invite you to be a part of that impact. And so we've been talking yesterday about how can we begin to think personally about the people that are already around our lives, or maybe God's going to put people on our hearts that we haven't even met yet, or people groups that we can make an impact in their lives. And so we talked a lot about that yesterday. We had just some tremendous presenters yesterday. We brought in a couple of people from our fellowship out of town to speak to us. Some of our own people spoke to us about how to take love from an idea, from a theological truth, from an attitude, down to some very basic grassroots ways that you and I can help other people come to know Jesus or be introduced to him in some very practical ways. So what we're going to do this morning during our time is we're going to just be asking our panel some questions about how love can become an action. How love can become an action. And I'm hoping what happens as you leave today is you'll not only have maybe some people in mind, but maybe some actual steps or tools that you can go home and start tomorrow. You can start putting some of these things into action to help create relationships or conversations or something that Jesus can be eventually introduced into that relationship. So let's begin. We're going to start with Tim. Tim Lansing is here with us. Tim, welcome, and introduce yourself and tell us what you're, who you're with, what you do.
Yeah, my name is Tim Lansing, here with Momentum Ministry Partners. I've been on staff with them for the last 3 years. And they do a lot of different things, but the thing that I am passionate about that I get to oversee within that organization is a thing called Urban Center. And we have an Urban Center in LA, which I get to be the director of. We also have an Urban Center in Philadelphia. And basically what that is a opportunity for people to come and get trained, followers of Jesus that love the Lord, but just say, hey, I need a little bit more training. I need a little bit more opportunities to practice what it means to share my faith. And so we do some like classroom training with teams and churches and groups that come down. And then we also, every day that you're with us, you'll go out into the community and you'll engage with people. And we're going to give you ministry opportunities to basically practice what we've been talking about. So that whole love into action is what we do. And so I've been able to do that the last 3 years. And your church is actually...
Yeah, we've taken a couple of teams to the Urban Center in downtown Philadelphia. Anybody here went on one of those teams? A couple of you. We've also taken a team down to Urban Hope Los Angeles when they opened up, took our junior hires down there. It's just a great experience to get some conversation ideas and some training in the morning, and then to go out into the community and to try and initiate conversations and to do things like that. You know, Tim, you talked a little bit yesterday in one of your sessions about how we as followers of Jesus see it as our responsibility to share our faith, to share Jesus. Somebody shared Jesus with us, and when we got saved, when we became a follower of Jesus, he didn't automatically snatch us and take us to heaven. So he left us here for a reason, and part of that reason is to share his love with other people like it was shared with us. So talk to us for a minute about how that sense of feeling responsible for sharing our faith has changed over the last 25 years.
Yeah, if you remember from Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus called his disciples, he said, come and follow me. And then that wasn't the end of it. He said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so I feel it's important, we all feel it's important, right, that we are out there sharing our faith, that we've been called to be the ambassadors of Christ to do that. And so if you're a numbers person and you really like numbers, I won't make you raise your hand, but maybe this will be kind of an interesting, some of these statistics for you. But Barna's done lots of studies. And one of the things that they've asked, back in 1993, they asked this question to a group of Christ followers, and they said, whose responsibility is it to share the gospel, to share about Jesus? And so back in 1993, 89% of those that were surveyed said, it's my responsibility as a follower of Jesus to share the gospel. Well, now fast forward 25 years to 2018, that same question was asked of a group of followers of Jesus. Hey, whose responsibility is it? Now, we would hope that that number would even increase, right? Unfortunately, that number has decreased to 64% of those that were surveyed says it's my responsibility. So what does that mean? That means, what, 36% are saying it's somebody else's responsibility. It's either the church's responsibility as an organization, it's Pastor Phil's responsibility, right? It's a pastor's responsibility, or it's just not mine. And so that's kind of where we're heading as a nation when we look at some of those things as the church even. Let me give you another just number statistic to think about. They asked followers of Jesus, and they said, how many of you are actually intentionally, you know, actively looking to share your faith with somebody else? That number of people that's doing that was about 6 to 7% of those that they surveyed said, I'm actively looking to share my faith with someone else. Right? Isn't that alarming? That, I mean, that means 90%, 90+% of followers of Jesus aren't looking for those opportunities to put love into action, to actually go out and to share their faith with other people. And so that's kind of where we're heading as a nation.
And I'm hoping by these conferences like this that we can hand tools out so that certainly wouldn't be reflective in our church. You know, we should be looking and intentionally asking God to give us opportunities to show his love and to present Jesus to those that are around us. So, yeah, we'd like to improve those statistics. John Ward is with us here this morning. John, introduce yourself and what organization you're with and what you do.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I'm glad to be here. My name is John Ward. I serve as the Director of Mobilization with Encompass World Partners, and what I have the privilege of doing is catalyzing global missions by investing in individuals and equipping churches to go further in the Great Commission. The Great Commission was given to followers of Jesus through 2,000 years ago, and it's continues today, and that's a mission that we are so privileged to lean into with churches like you that we partner with to send folks like the Mallarays, also partnerships that extend to churches that have been planted around the world that now participate in that global mission with us. And so we're so glad to be able to do that. There's about 100+ staff, roughly 100 staff serving in about 15 countries around the world. And I get the privilege of journeying with people who are kind of taking some of those initial steps of consideration for could I be used of God to serve in vocational cross-cultural ministry.
Yeah, so let's talk about that just for a second, John. People come to you and say, I feel like God is calling me to the mission field. And that statement, I feel, and this word calling is a bit subjective. And so yesterday in one of your seminars, you talked about this accurate definition of what is a calling. And that definition is what is on the screen there. So explain that definition to us and talk to us about it for a minute.
Yeah, thanks. And y'all be glad to know that as Pastor Phil was sharing, he came to my seminar on could God possibly be calling me to be a missionary. So... We're signing him up. It's a done deal. But this is a definition that's been really helpful for us as we've processed this and talked with people who are asking big questions of God in terms of discerning their calling. And I think oftentimes we hear people just say it. It kind of rolls off of our tongues. I feel like God's calling me to this. And I feel like having tacos today. So... we hear it everywhere, but we want to kind of, not have such a thin understanding of what that calling is. We want to add some depth to that and look into what God has for us in that. And so he's given us the Holy Spirit, right? Right there at the beginning, an inner conviction given by and through the Holy Spirit and confirmed by these three things, the Word of God. Let's make sure it follows what God has for us in his Word. The body of Christ, he's given us a body of believers that we're a part of that can nurture that, and the character of the called. And so as we grow and mature, our character is being formed more into the likeness of Christ and to do the things that he's called us to do.
Yeah, and you know, a couple years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago, our church made a strategic move in our missions department to not just be supporting missionaries and sending money to missionaries, but we wanted to actually ask God to raise up missionaries from our church that we could identify, equip, and partner with Encompass and send out. And God provided the Daniels family, who are now in Osaka, Japan, and now the Mallory family, who's going to join them in Japan. And now, on Wednesday, the elders just approved to be the sending church for the Parisis, who are also going going to be joining them in Osaka, Japan. So that's three families that have come up from our church that are identifying. But we hear this phrase, calling. I feel called. I feel called. And so it's good to give some definition to that. So thanks. And I believe that God's going to continue to do that. So maybe even this morning, you're going to be coming here and you're going to go home and think, I wonder if God's calling me to be a missionary. And what is that calling mean? Well, there's a great definition for it. So thank you, John. Mike, this is Mike Gentis from Assist. Welcome, Mike. Introduce yourself and tell us what you do with Assist there.
Yeah, I'm Mike Gentis. Thanks for having us today. It's been a great weekend. Appreciate it very much. I work with Assist Church Expansion, and Assist is a newer organization to our fellowship, although most of the teammates have been working for several decades. But in the CARES Fellowship, one of our charge is to help our fellowship become a growing movement, hopefully by 2030. And so in our fellowship of churches here in the United States, we have about 230 churches. And so we're trying to, if we did the math on that, for us, that means about a 5% growth would help us kind of get into that cycle. So that means 11 new churches every year to be introduced into our fellowship. That's not happening currently, and so we're working towards that. We're glad for churches like yours that are working towards that. And so we help in that space of starting new churches or campuses. And we also, the Lord, because we want to continue to take the gospel, we want to take it to places where there already are churches. And we found a lot of churches were hurting, plateaued or dying, or their pastor was retiring, and they didn't know how to kind of retool themselves for the future. And so we work with churches in both that space of starting new and also revitalizing.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And so you talk a lot yesterday about fishing for men and how God used that, Jesus used that metaphor a lot. And in your discussion, you made a distinction between a fishing pole where I fish alone versus when Jesus said we'll be fishers of men. It was in the context of the first century where they used nets. Fishing nets, not fishing poles. So share with us that distinction and this whole idea of the difference between a fishing pole and a fishing net.
Yeah, sure. So as you think about, you know, doing good Bible study, right? We go back to the original context and what was going on. So these guys, Simon and Andrew, were standing on the side of the Sea of Galilee and they were wrestling with their nets, and Jesus called them to go and be fishers of men. And so in their mind was, if I'm going to be a fisher, it wasn't I'm going to be using a pole, right? I'm going to be actually using nets. And so that metaphor was part of what we unpacked yesterday, was just saying, okay, in the mind of those guys, fishing was going to be together. It was going to be Simon and Andrew, and then James and John, and others were going to actually work together to do fishing. And so in America, because we're individualists, and we like fishing, we think it's us with this pole against the fish. We're just going to go and do this all by ourselves. Well, the biblical metaphor, the metaphor that was in the mind of the disciples as they were called to be fishers, multiple of men, multiple fish too that they're going to catch, it was about fishing together as a team. And so we tried to revisit that. And so I hope that sits in your brain and kind of causes you to rethink about how do we be fishers of people together.
Yeah, so it's not just me waking up tomorrow morning thinking, who do I need to go after? It's like, how can we continue to do this together? How can my family do this, or my life group do this, or our church do this together? That's great. John, let's go back to talking about vocational missionary for a minute. Let's say someone does really feel that inner conviction. How do they process that? How do they discern that in their life?
Yeah, I think oftentimes we're pretty accustomed to and almost programmed to just go online and search for the how-to response that maybe we'd find on a YouTube video or some other resource online. And there's not really, I got to tell you, there's not really a formula out there. Hmm. And we actually yesterday in the workshop or the session, We talked about, we even looked at how God called people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It was very different for every single one of those people that we see in the Bible. And so yeah, it's you actually what I love to talk about is how we're always talking about the next step. And so what opportunities are in front of you right now to in faith step out and trust Jesus and see him do great things through you. And what's the next step after that? And so we talk about being on a pathway and taking steps along that path. and trusting God that the Holy Spirit's going to guide, as it said in that definition. He's our counselor, he's our guide, and so, yeah, there are plenty of opportunities out there to gain experience, to gain exposure to what God's doing through missions, and there's great people that you can lean into who are who've gone before. And so, yeah, it's oftentimes it's like a big an opportunity to just really lean in, trust the Lord, and say, what's the opportunity you have in front of me to take my next step?
Yeah, and sometimes we saw, as in your workshop yesterday, God did it quickly in their lives, and sometimes God took a long time to prepare them in their lives. So the path is different for everybody. That's great. Tim, let's go back to you talking about how we can have conversations with people that we see out in the community. You know, you talked yesterday about being an initiator with people and being present. You know, what did you mean by being present when we're out in the community and being that initiator?
Yeah, so I have a family, my wife, and we have four kids, so I have two boys and two girls, and if you were to leave it up to them, they would be inside, you know, every day on their devices, watching movies, doing all those things indoors, and I've realized over the last couple of years that the more that I can be outside and our family can be outside and we can be outside of our four walls and be present where other people are, because again, we won't notice people unless we put ourselves in situations where there are people, and our people are going to be around us. And so just give you an example. I was actually out of town a number of weeks ago, but my wife and kids were home, and my kids, this is kind of rare, but they said, hey, can we go outside and play baseball? And so I love that idea, right? Let's get outside. Let's do that. And so my wife said, yeah, let's, you know, we want to encourage that, foster that. And so they went outside. Well, a few weeks before, actually like a week before, we had new neighbors moving across the street. And so while my kids were out there starting to play baseball, our neighbor that we know next door to us, he came over, was starting to play. Well, this family across the street saw our kids playing, and so they decided, hey, let's go over. This is a good chance for us to meet the neighbors. And so all of that just to say, because my kids and my wife were outside, all of a sudden they're now present where other people could be, and now we had this interaction with this new family to our neighborhood and got a chance to meet them. And so I think oftentimes just being more present, being where people are. Again, we talked about being an initiator. I think as followers of Jesus, we need to be the initiators. So in that story, like actually our neighbors kind of initiated. They're the ones that came across the street. But I think we need to be the initiators. We need to be the people that are friendly. We have a smile on our face now that our masks are off, right? We are almost off, right? And so we can smile. People can see our smiles. And we need to be the ones that are initiating that and starting those conversations. Real quick, my wife was, she likes to walk every morning. So a few weeks ago, I walked with her one morning, and she walks through this like nature center path, and she always goes kind of with the flow. And she says, hey, but there's these two paths. We could go against the flow or with the flow. I said, let's go against the flow. And so we went the wrong way on the path so that we had to face everybody as they're walking. And my wife, every time we crossed somebody, was, hey, good morning, hello, how you doing? And I looked at her and said, do you do that to everybody? And she says, yeah. And she's like, you just never know when you'll have an opportunity to talk with someone. And I think that's what it's all about. We need to be the initiators, and we need to be present with people.
Yeah, and that's just a great truth. And most of the time when we're out in the community, it's that we're going to do this so that we can get to that, so that we can get to that. And we need to just be present on who is around us. You know, what is that person doing? And let's have eye contact and let's say hello. And, you know, what we talked yesterday about, one of the biggest dangers or hindrances to that is we have our phones with us and we're always on our phones. We're sitting in the park on our phone, or, you know, let's put our phones down for a minute and just look around the coffee shop and see who's there. And look them in the eye and say hello to them, because you never know what God's going to stir up there.
And maybe you're used to being outside in your backyard, but y'all have fences around your yards. All right, so maybe move to your front yard. Maybe move to somewhere where people can see you and walk around your neighborhood.
Mike, let's go back to this idea of fishing for men. You know, you talked about how Jesus walked up along the shore and he saw Simon Peter and his brother in the boat, and he just said, come follow me. And it seems like they just dropped everything and went to follow him. And sometimes we think that sharing Jesus with people is just talking to our neighbors, and the first time we talk to them, we say, follow Jesus, and either they do or they don't. But tell us some backdrop to that story, because there's more to the story than Jesus simply walking up and saying, hey, drop your nets and follow me. Tell us the backstory to that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so that always puzzled me. It was like, really? These guys just like left their job and followed Jesus? I mean, that's a good thing. I'm not mad about that. But it was like, really? What was the backstory there? What was the origin story? Fortunately, in Luke's gospel in chapter 5, he gives us that. And so I would just want to read that here as we tell this story today. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and they were washing their nets. Okay, so they were washing their nets. Not fishing with a pole, they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon Peter, its owner, to push out into the water. So he sat in the boat, kind of kept Peter with him in the boat, and he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Peter, "Oh, now let's go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." Now remember, Peter was a professional fisherman. And so so Jesus is telling him, "I've taught this stuff about the Bible." And now he says, "Let's go out a little deeper and catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Now, we've heard that story, right? But we typically don't put it in the context of before Jesus called them to be fishers of men. So they were fishing. They had a boat. They had nets. They actually had another boat that they had to come, right? Two boats with all this fish and these nets. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh, Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. So what they were able to do, there was a process. There was a process. You know, Simon Peter was able to see Jesus, saw how he interacted with the crowds, and then he actually was able to receive his teaching. He sat there in the boat, was a captive audience as Jesus taught from the scripture about life and the kingdom and all those things. And then Simon Peter was also able to experience Jesus' work in his life by this miraculous catch of fish. And I think we need to do the same. So he thought, this is how fishing happens, is that we get to see Jesus. We get to receive his teaching, and also we get to experience his work. And so that's, I think, what was in his mind of what it was going to be in the process of becoming a fisher of men. And being a fisher was also going to be doing it together with my team to find others to follow Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's such a great picture for us. When we have people in our mind that we want to help come to know Jesus, one conversation isn't usually going to make them jump into Jesus. But just what Mike said, we need to help them see Jesus. You know, Peter got to see Jesus working with the crowds, and then Peter got to hear Jesus's teaching. So we can invite people to come to our life group or come to church to hear the teachings of Jesus, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. And then they need to experience his work in their life. So we're praying for them. So it's this whole process. So as we talk about you being a little more courageous in developing friendships and relationships to introduce people to Jesus, it might take a little while, but work through that same process. Let them into your lives. Let them hang around you so that they can see Jesus through you, and then invite them to hear the teachings of Jesus, and then pray that God will work in their life and they'll see that. So that's just a great process. Tim, let's go back to talking about how I want to engage. Okay, I want to be an initiator. I want to get out of the house, and I want to engage people. And so I'm going to select a group, maybe somebody my age. I'm a senior citizen, so I want to engage more senior citizens or children or students. How do I do that? Tell me how I can practically take steps to do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, for a lot of us, we're busy, right? We have a lot of things going on in our lives. And so I would say, I don't think it's always the picture of we have to add additional things to our schedule. I think sometimes it's just maybe even re-looking at our schedule and saying, you know, if you're a family that has kids and your kids are involved in sports or they're involved in some kind of extracurricular activity, maybe it's just a rethinking of your mindset to say, hey, we've been doing this for our kids and we've been going, but like, maybe I need to see this more as a mission field to start reaching out. What are the other families around there? Maybe there's a family that you know doesn't know the Lord that also plays that sport or does that thing with your child. And maybe just we need to be more intentional about our conversations while we're out and about doing those things. Or maybe you love, like, you have a pattern of always going to a coffee shop or always having coffee or always, maybe you're big, like, going out and getting food at a restaurant. And so I would say, like, find your pattern, what you like to do, and do that regularly at the same place, knowing that you're probably going to meet the same waiters or the waitresses or the same people giving you coffee, and start to build relationships with them. Get to know their name, then use their name, right? Remember their name, use their name when you see them, and that will go, I think, a long ways as we start to build relationships. Because, again, it's not always about having to find new things to do and new outreach opportunities, and maybe that is something you need to do. Maybe for some of us we need to. But for a lot of us, I think it's more of just finding out what are those things that we're already doing and maybe just shifting a little bit of our mindset about why we're doing those things and being intentional with it.
Yeah, you're talking about, you know, what group do I want to engage and where do they hang out and what are they talking about so that I can have conversations with them, and then how can I routinely engage with them? And it could be my kids are in baseball coming up this spring or they're in basketball and I'm just going to go to their practice, I'm going to go to their games, but I'm going to intentionally start having conversations with other parents, or I have coffee every morning maybe and I go to the same place and I'm going to learn the waiter's name or the people's name. So that's great, going there all the time and doing that.
There's a saying for fishermen, if you're going to catch fish, you got to go where the fish are.
Yeah, right, you got to go where the fish are. John, let's go back to discerning my call, if God might be calling me to the mission field. You wrote a book on that, so I want you to be a little bit self-promoting right now and tell us about why you wrote this book, Discerning the Call, and what it's all about.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it really came through the experience of the last 14 years of having these kind of conversations and wading into the questions of people who are discerning God's lead and that calling. And so discern, as a word, means to seek insight, and we want to do that with the wisdom of God. And so, yeah, like we said before, it's a journey, but this resource is one resource among a lot of others that are out there, just to be able to really learn what the Word of God says, what my role is in the Great Commission, and how I can take the best next step. The book actually points to Scripture and to questions that people can examine, but we also have stories of people who've actually gone out and served as missionaries with Encompass and how God worked that out in their lives as examples.
Yeah, that's great. So we want to get that book and read it if you feel like God might be leading you to the mission field. But let me ask you this, John. I'm not called to the mission field. I went to your class. It was awesome. But I don't feel like God is leading me away from Auburn Grace. And maybe there's a lot like that, that love missions, want to make a global impact, but God hasn't called me to be a missionary. How can I make a global impact even though I'm not a missionary?
Yeah, it's... We actually at Encompass, you see we've got a sail in our logo, and so we talk about some nautical things at times. And you all know the saying that says it's an all hands on deck scenario. And I like to say missions is not a DIY project, it's a DIT, do it together project, not do it yourself. And so, yeah, it takes everybody. If you follow Jesus, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, and that starts with prayer, for one. We had a session yesterday on prayer that we did together, and we just spent time praying, but I reminded everybody that this we're here today because of a prayer meeting that took place in Antioch, right out of the pages of Scripture there in Acts 13, when the Holy Spirit said to those leaders at the church in Antioch, set apart from me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to. And that set across, that led into a movement that led to us hearing about Jesus today. Hmm. And so prayer is so essential to the work, and it is the work. Hmm. And so prayer, everybody can pray. Giving is key. And so saying, hey, I can give. I have been given much, and I want to be a part of the work that God's doing through those that are going and serving to as missionaries, and be a part of that work that God's doing through them by giving. And they're going opportunities, short-term teams. You were talking about Urban Hope opportunities and or urban centers that folks can go to and other short-term opportunities. And there are opportunities right outside of our doors, as we're sharing here, to begin to put these things into practice. And really, you have a great group of people here that you can do that together with.
Yeah, and in Acts, you saw people behind the scenes. I mean, when we read the book of Acts, which is like the big missionary book in the Bible, we tend to think about Peter and Paul, but you mentioned how many instances of people behind the scenes making that happen.
Yeah, we did. In that session, we looked at Acts, and we looked at 45 different passages of folks in the early church that were supporting the work of the apostles. And it was things just like what we mentioned, praying and giving and showing hospitality and a lot of communication that was going back and forth and providing for the needs of those that were going. And so, but yeah, it's cool. We often revere the work that we see. And when we read the book of Acts, we see Peter and Paul and what they're doing. And it's awesome. It's amazing. But there's also a great cloud of witnesses behind them that are supporting that work too, and we can do that today.
Yeah. Tim, talk about prayer just for a minute. You know, as we talk about meeting people, thinking about them, initiating missionary work, what role does prayer play in all of this?
Yeah, I mean, I also, you know, you look back to the Bible and say, where did prayer fall into the Scripture, New Testament? And of course, Jesus was often withdrawing for times of prayer to the Father. And then I look at, like, the end of Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul, while he's in prison, he actually says there towards the end of chapter 6, he says, pray for me that I would open my mouth with boldness to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, right? And he goes on to talk about how he's an ambassador in chains, and I just think about that whole idea of prayer has to be, if it was for Jesus, it was for Paul, it has to be the driving force behind what we do. And so I think about the statistic I gave you earlier about only 6-7% of believers are actually sharing their faith and looking for those opportunities. And I think it's probably from a lack of prayer. I think if we're praying and we're asking God for those opportunities are all around us. I know I miss them all the time, and I think we probably all miss them all the time and very often, right? But it's I think if we make prayer more of a part of our daily process and when we look at evangelism and sharing our faith, again, every day when we wake up, if we could say, God, would you give me opportunities today? Again, you've placed people all around us. Help me to invest in them. And so prayer really has to be that driving force behind sharing our faith.
Yeah, that's great. And Mike, in your workshop, you presented this little worksheet for how to figure out how to pray and who to pray for. So explain the worksheet a little bit. And we have 100 of these out on the table in the courtyard today. But this is a practical way that I can begin to pray for people and share that.
Yeah, sure. So this is just a way to put together a fishing list. And so the first side of it is kind of for you personally. So just a way to think through this. You know, write down, 14 names of people that you spend half an hour a week with. It may be in little bits or it may be in a big chunk, like someone across the cubicle with you at work. But that's kind of the place in which God has planted you. You know, those are your circle of influence. And as you guys have been talking about, you're made to be influencers. And so kind of just articulating that. And then, you know, just put a star by those who you don't know. So that's just a grocery list of whoever's in your life. And then kind of put a star beside those who are not believers or you don't know or might be, you know, not following Jesus the way you think they should or whatever. And then just begin to think about that. Then the third step would be, you know, put a list of your neighbors down. We do think Jesus did say, love your neighbor. And so we don't think we're really excluded from that commandment, even though we all have cars and can drive all over wherever we want to. You know, our neighbors are still placed there for a reason, and we live in neighborhoods for a reason. And star a couple of those folks that, if you don't know where they're at on their pathway. And then from that list, then just kind of pray over that list of people, because you have that grocery list in front of you, and say, okay, God, who would be the top three that I could engage with? And that could be your, target three, maybe you'll call that. And then pick one of those people who would kind of be your highest priority, if you will, and then you can actually, the backside of the sheet is for you and your life group, or you and whatever Bible study group you're part of, or Auburn Grace group you're part of. We'd encourage you to have a fishing list as a team so that we're all fishing together, because then you guys can do, you know, events for some of those people. Like if your guys group has, you know, 10 guys on here that you're all fishing for, well, let's figure out something that all, you know, 20 of us can do together with the 10 other guys. And so this part, then you can kind of list these out, review these as you get together in your groups. And in my Bible, I have this like folded in half and it's stuck in where my Bible reading is so that I can, you know, kind of keep this front of mind. Because if we keep these people front of mind, that's really helpful. It's kind of like I said this earlier, but, you know, my wife bought a Ford F-150, a red one. And all of a sudden, once we bought that, there was a bazillion Ford F-150s that were red out there on the freeway. I was like, oh my gosh, they're everywhere. And I think that because when you become aware, then opportunities pop. And when you start to say, okay, God, I'm going to pray for Johnny, guess what starts to pop? Oh, Johnny just came down the road. Oh, Johnny's doing that. Oh, how can I engage with Johnny? And so when we begin to pray, when we begin to be intentional, God will give us opportunities.
Yeah, and that is just so great. Again, I'm hoping we walk away with some very practical ideas today. This is a great one. Write down names of people, shrink the list to three, and then if you're part of any group, bring that name to the group, and then we're just going to pray together because we're fishing with nets, not with fishing poles, and so we're doing that together. Give us a story, you know, of when this, in your life group back in the day in Ohio, your life transformation group, you saw this work, you had that phrase, belonging before believing. Explain that, and then tell us the story of how this, how Jerry worked out in your life group.
Yeah, sure. So we had an opportunity. We had actually moved into a community in Columbus, Ohio, that we knew was a gay community, a gay-friendly community on purpose, so that we could be present with Jesus. There wasn't very many churches there that were proclaiming the gospel anymore, and so we were like, let's go be Jesus in this community. And so we began to engage our community, kind of meet our neighbors, all that kind of stuff. And so there was a guy a couple doors down from us who lived with his partner. And we were like, okay, you know, he's our neighbor. Like, okay, so let's start praying. And I wasn't super fond of him at first, but, you know, the Lord began to work on my heart. And he began to be involved in our stuff. We were involved in community things, and we were inviting him to be involved in some of those events. We worked out something at the elementary school, and he helped make food for that, and this thing and that thing. And what began to happen, we talked about a little bit about belonging before believing. And Jesus, in that story that I just shared a little bit ago, he had Simon with him in the boat before Simon repented and believed, right? And so people have to be with us. They have to get to know Jesus. They have to see Jesus. They have to see him in our lives. They have to belong to family before they can believe. It is a process. And over several years, we began to continue to have Larry around. He was in our lives, you know, as we got to know him better, and he began to love on our kids. He had he was a grandpa, so he wasn't always in that lifestyle. He had a divorce and had tragedy in his life, and, you know, and so he was a broken man who, as a kid, heard about Jesus and had gone to church, but soon he showed up on a Thursday night, and we were all getting ready to have food and have our group, and he's like, what's going on? And I'm like, well, you can stay for dinner, and we have a Bible study after this, and so he stuck around, and then the next Thursday, he came back, and the next Thursday, and he began to hang out with us, and he belonged with us before he believed. And I think that process is more of the seeing Jesus, hearing his, receiving his teaching, and experiencing his work. And so eventually, over a period of time then, Larry came to know Jesus and accepted him again. And so we were super delighted in that and walked with him, and I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. You know, and helped him through some later difficulties in his life, you know. Yeah. How many of us, when we have neighbors we don't like, do we start praying for them? okay, and start inviting them into our lives. Because sometimes when we start to pray, God has to change our hearts first, right, about people that are around us. And you saw that process there. So that's great. Well, isn't it great to talk to these guys this morning? Let's give them a hand. Thanks so much. You guys can take a break. Appreciate all of you. We had a great time yesterday. Next year when we have our Impact Weekend, we really want to encourage you to attend to that. As you leave today, there's a table right outside the doors, and it has this very simple task, this little worksheet of how to list some people and then break it down and begin to pray for them. And then if you belong to a small group or a Bible study, you can bring this sheet along, and all of you can start praying together for people, because prayer is where it starts. Yesterday at the end of our session, we wanted to challenge our church people to not just believe that love is an attitude or a thought, but it's actually an action. And so there are these little pamphlets out there called Next Steps, and our church has put together a couple of events in the near future, different kinds of events that you can actually participate in to go out into our community and share the love of Jesus. So these are out there. You can look at those. You can sign up for one of those. You can leave them. You can leave that there, and we'll follow up with you. Also out there on the table is this little partnership booklet. These are all the people, places, and partnerships that we have of making Jesus known here and around the world. And on page 9, there is a list of our local partnerships. And so maybe you just want to look over that list, pray over that list, and there are opportunities to get involved in making Jesus known in a variety of ways right here in our own community. But I wanted to end with, before we sing our last song, I wanted to end with something that we're launching today, and we're calling it our Fishing for Men campaign. And you'll notice the board over here on the side that has a lot of fish hanging from it. And what we did yesterday, and what I want to do for the next 2 months here in church, is I want us just to begin to think about specific people in your theater of life. People that may know the Lord, may not know the Lord, maybe they're walking away from the Lord, they need to come back to the Lord. But I want us to start praying for them. So out in the courtyard today, there are several more of these stands, and at the base of each stand, there's a bucket of fish and some Sharpies, and I want you to think about whose name you could write on there, or what people group you could write on there, that you're going to start praying for, that God would just work in their lives, and He would open up an opportunity for you to be part of the process. And so I want to encourage you to do that as we go out today. And we're going to do that for the next couple of months. And at our Thanksgiving dinner, we're just going to hear some stories about how God answered those prayers. Just like the story of Larry that we heard today, because we believe that God has a lot of people that He's working on, and He wants us to be part of the process. So let's close our time in prayer. Would you close your eyes with me? Before I pray, I just want you to come up with two or three people or people groups. When I ask the question, who is it in your life? Who has God brought that need to come to know Him or come back to Him? What faces come to your mind? Maybe it's someone at school, maybe it's someone at work, someone in your neighborhood. Who is it that God has already brought into your life that needs to know Him? And what are their names? Who is it that you see when you go to your regular places? If you go to the coffee shop, if you... kids are on a sports team, if you play pickleball. Who is it that's there regularly that maybe doesn't know the Lord? What are their names? Maybe there's a family member, a spouse, a child that doesn't know the Lord or needs to come back to the Lord. What's their name? Picture their face in your mind's eye. Maybe there's a people group that has been on your heart lately. Maybe it's the homeless right down the street in DeWitt. Maybe it's the refugees. Maybe it's the Japanese or the poor folks in Afghanistan that are suffering. Maybe there's a people group that God wants you to pray about and pray for. What's their name? And as you think about those names, I'm just challenging our whole church for the next couple of months to begin to regularly pray for those people and people groups. Because prayer launches the supernatural work of God. So I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to be challenging myself and our church regularly these next 2 months to remember those faces and those names, to pray for them. Lord Jesus, thank you that you tell us that the harvest is ripe, the fields are white unto harvest, which means you're working on people's hearts. You're drawing them to yourself. We may not even see it, but you're doing it. And you're doing it in people all around us. But sometimes I'm just so distracted, or I'm so focused on my task, that I forget to look at the people around me and to ask you to use me to help them in their lives to come to know Jesus. So Lord, help change our perspective. Help us to slow down. Help us to take some practical steps of loving people, not just with an attitude, but with an action. And as you provide the way, help us to speak up and just to remember their name and to tell them that God loves them. And Lord, as we put together these fish on these racks, may you answer the call of our heart that we would see many people come to know you, many people come back to you, and many people walk more deeply with you. Thank you that you've called us to do this. Help us not to be part of the 93% that never consider the people around them and sharing their faith and love with them. May we be the minority group and take this challenge. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a closing song, and then we'll be done for today.